Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Let me tell you a little bit more about myself here. A lot of people don't know that I'm the chairman of the board of directors of a foundation that my father started in 1963. Now, my dad is a British man, and he speaks what he calls the Queen's English. Now, my mother is from Alabama. She speaks Southern. So, along the way, my father, he's decided that his organization, he's 92 now, by the way, he's decided that it should be an international company. And actually, he started these different affiliates, you might say, around the world. He started in his homeland of England. And I can tell you right now, sometimes I need, you know, the Queen's English translated for me because, you know, I'm not interpreting what they're saying half of the time. Well, what's the difference between translating and interpreting? There's a big difference. So let's talk about this today. If you have a business that could possibly do more business if you had the ability to, oh, by the way, there are 350 different languages spoken in the U.S. 350 different languages spoken in the U.S. But imagine if you had the ability to have your company, your business, speak in multiple languages. Well, our guest today has got just that going on. Her name is Kristen Quinlan, and she is the CEO of Certified Languages International, certifiedlanguages.com on the web. Did I say that right? 350 languages spoken in the U.S.? How could that be?
Well, hold on, Alan. There's 7,000 spoken globally. We just have identified, or it has been identified, that there's 350 languages spoken in U.S. homes.
Oh my gosh.
North of 25 million people are considered limited English proficient, and that's about 20% of our population. Oh, so one out of five speak a language other than English at home, and how do they get goods and services and medical attention and whatnot? And that's what our company solves.
I barely speak English, and my dad's from England. Yeah. And it's funny because we have, our foundation has a affiliate in Britain. And it's so funny because things are spelled differently, even though we're saying the same word. They're said differently, even though we're spelling them the same way. You know, it's like it's, and I said that right there. Translation is the written. You taught me this, by the way.
Yeah.
Interpreting is the spoken. And I didn't know that there was a difference betwixt the two, if I can say that.
You're not alone.
Wow. Well, so how many languages does Certified Languages International interpret out of these 350 or 7,000 worldwide or whatever it is?
Thank you for using the right word, interpret. Yes. Certified Languages interprets today in 233 languages and growing. If we have clients that have a demand for a language that we don't currently provide, we're very nimble and we can source the languages. But our demand currently stands at 233 languages.
Now, do me a favor. Yeah. Your dad started this company. Can you give us a little bit of the genesis of this organization?
Yeah, my dad was a serial entrepreneur. He also did not speak languages other than English. He was a very, very creative, hilarious guy. He did a lot of work in telecommunications, but as I was growing up, he also owned a liquor distillery. He invented this fancy boat hatch, had a boat hatch company out of Florida, but he was a really early adopter of computer programming. There was one period in his life back in the mid-90s, he had done some contract programming work for a company who dispatched interpreters on site. Huh. So they placed physical interpreters in hospitals and healthcare settings and whatnot. And he determined that interpreters should be available anywhere, anytime, and in any language, and that anybody deserves access. So he set out to provide a service doing just that.
Back up, he
and his best friend, who was a dentist, had started a business called Dental Referral Service. And this is where dentist would pay a nominal fee a month in order to get referred to newcomers in town. And so they would do it in the, you know, welcome packages when people would move to town or whatnot. And it became a booming business and he sold it. But he decided that that technology via the phone could be leveraged to put interpreters anywhere, anytime, regardless of languages.
I love it.
Keep in mind, back in 1996, phones weren't very tech savvy back then.
So right.
They were flashing in calls.
Well, the interwebs, was the interwebs even invented yet?
No.
You know? Yeah. All right, hold tight. Yeah. We'll talk more on the other side.
We worked off of paper lists of interpreters.
What? Hold on. This is too funny. So could your business, listeners, do more business if you had somebody that can interpret for you? Well, that's what we're talking about now. Certified Language International. Kristen Quinlan, and we'll be right back to talk about more and how you could benefit. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, this is Entrepreneur Weekly, Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. Pick up an issue. Check out our website, entrepreneur.com. Kristen Quinlan's joining us, CEO, Certified Languages International. How much more business could you do if you were able to speak more languages? Or if you had better access to those that do speak different languages? Kristen, thank you again for joining us. Interesting time in the world right now, and I think that everybody has to use every angle they can put their hands on to increase, you know, revenue opportunities. Speaking more languages is even, I think, a fantastic way. Look, we're trying to do it in our organization.
Right, right. There's so many opportunities. As we said, we provide interpreting in virtually any language that your clients might speak. And about 60 to 65% of the business we do is in the hospital and healthcare industry, but we also do a large amount of work in banking and insurance and
Government travel, banking, medical,
travel,
I can just see everything.
Tourism, some retail. But, you know, I'll tell you, the facilities to the medical, the legal, the, you know, some of the banking are really mandated. I mean, you have to provide these services, but there's so much business out there that can be driven by companies who adopt interpreting services to speak the language of their clients or their prospective clients. I've got a great story. Kennedy Space Center contacted us about 8 years ago, I guess. And they said 70% of the population visiting their sites, the rocket launches, speak a language other than English. But the only way you can get a tour of the facility is by calling months in advance to get a reservation on their little buses that go around. Right. And so 70% of the people that don't speak English had no access to making these reservations and were just left standing in the dust. So they contacted with us and asked if we could help them. And of course we do. We do the reservation lines and whatnot. But when I was touring Kennedy Space Center, of course you go into the retail store and I buy trinkets. And the retail clerks were saying, wait, can we get this service here? We can't talk to, you know, the majority of our clients who come through here. This is just brilliant. So anyways, there's, you know, retail. I mean, you look at retail, if it ever comes back, right, post-COVID, you go into a store, you may not have something available. You can pull up a device, say an iPad or a notebook of sorts, and you can immediately bring up an interpreter to talk to this, you know, prospective client. Mm. You've got your tourism from China. Tourists spend on average $10,000 per person per week while in America.
Wow.
But most retail have just no avenue to talk with them.
Right.
In language. So there's just a whole bunch of opportunities.
Let me just jump in because one of the things you said to me that made me kind of excited for the entrepreneurs is that this industry, this language industry, I guess we could call it interpreting industry, is a $54 billion global industry. $54 billion.
It's the biggest little industry nobody's ever heard of. That's the languages services industry in total. So both interpreting and translation and transcription and subtitling and all of that encompassed in the language services business. Right. But $54 billion industry, larger than the global music industry, and it's crazy that most people have never heard of it.
How
right?
many calls a day? Like, how many calls a day do you deal with?
Our company services north of 30,000 calls a day on any given day, covering 233 languages.
Oh,
so Spanish, yeah, it's crazy. It's and growing. You know, we have grown every single year since our inception in 1996. So
right,
this year
right.
we were
hold on.
For
hold
the
on.
Ninth time running yep. on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies. And it just continues to go.
Hold tight.
Even
hold tight. I got a commercial going to run me over. I got to tell you a story real quick. I have a plaza. In my plaza, I have 28 units. One of the units is a little Mexican store. They sell Mexican products from Mexico. But this is a bustling, hustling little store. And the reason is probably 75% of the people that go there do not speak English, but they translate and they can communicate and they have a tremendous business. I'm telling you right now, there's something here, people. We're going to take a break. What if you had interpreting services? Certified Languages International. CertifiedLanguages.com. You can find out more. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur. To lift you up, I could change my life to better
suit your mood.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So I was talking about this one little store that we affectionately call the Mexican store. I don't even know what the name of it is, and they rent from me. Alba is the lady's name. She's great. She has a banging business right now. It's unbelievable. It's like the parking lot is full constantly. Her clients are all Spanish-speaking people that need services. Now, I understand that. I get that. And she's a fantastic client of mine. She pays her rent on time, if not early, because she's doing so much business during a global pandemic, the COVID thing, the whole, you know, economy on the rocks kind of a thing. She is killing it. This is probably a bad word to say. She is really doing well. And it's because she has that one little thing. Now, if a little person from China went in there, she'd probably look at him and say, no comprende. You know what I'm saying? But she has this business that is thriving through the hardest time because she speaks two languages. Now, I know Kristen Quinlan joining us. You speak French. How many French people do you meet lately running around here that can't speak English? You know what I'm saying? So, but
there's
Spanish.
Plenty.
What is the biggest language that you guys interpret?
Spanish, by far. It's about 63% of the business.
Wow.
We do Spanish, followed by Vietnamese, Arabic, Somali, Russian, Mandarin, Portuguese, Cantonese, Korean, French. It just goes down the list. But we do all kinds of crazy languages. Let me see. I printed out a list because it's kind of fun to do. Last week, we interpreted 22 calls for Twi.
We had
28 calls in Wolof, which is spoken in Senegal.
Oh my gosh. Well, let me ask you this.
Mandinka. It just goes on. Anyways.
Let me ask. So, with this pandemic that is upon us, do you feel that people that can't speak the language of, you know, the U.S., I guess, are being marginalized because, you know, here we're in a time when things are tough. They need somebody to help them with their problems, right? And is this an opportunity? I mean, not to be an opportunist, but is this an opportunity? I think it must be, right?
It's a huge opportunity, and I've got a few things to say about that. Yeah, our we call them the LEP population, the limited English-speaking population. They've been greatly marginalized during this pandemic. Laws, you know, regarding access to languages have been lightened. A lot of stuff, a lot of regulations have been lightened as a result of, let's just get, you know, everything done that we can get done. And it's impacted this community greatly. Imagine this. Imagine, Alan, you speak Korean and you go to the emergency room sick and alone because nobody can go with you, right?
Right.
You're terrified to begin with. But on top of that, You have no idea what people, what they're saying to you. So we're bridging this gap as best we can. We're working with hospitals and healthcare clinics and COVID testing centers all around the country to make sure that we help them communicate with their limited English proficient patients as best they can. And again, we do that tens of thousands of times a day, both in hospital as well. But it's, you know, it's been really interesting during this, you know, crazy time of COVID. We're working with people potentially on ventilators, being put on ventilators, and doctors in full head-to-toe hazmat suits and PPP working on cell phones.
All right, but
interesting.
Let me bring it back to the business world for the entrepreneurs. What about if I need to do a Zoom call with China?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You know?
Yes. So telemedicine and video, all kinds of video platforms have been huge. As you know, I live on Zoom, and I think most people out there would say the same thing. I actually kind of like it, to be truthful. So there are more than 300 identified telehealth platforms, so video chat telehealth platforms out there, not one of which built an interpreter component into it. It's crazy. We're working behind the scenes, and we can do more on that on a segment down the road, but we're working tirelessly on helping bridge that gap. How do we make sure that we can populate interpreters on any telemedicine platforms? They're left out in the cold. You know, where you and I can go on a video chat. So we have video remote interpreting for sure. But as far as integrating that in with telemedicine, the adoption of telemedicine has been huge. It's been a coughing start for 10 years. All of a sudden, COVID shut the world down, and people have embraced telemedicine, and it's not going to go all the way back. I guarantee you that.
No, I know. So, my parents are 92 and 90, and you know we're gonna live longer because medicine is pretty darn good these days. Even though they can't seem to come up with a quick fix for the COVID, but you know that's another story. But anyway, I'm having to have, you know, because of the COVID stuff, my dad is having to do a lot of these televisits, whatever you say, from the doctors. And you know what? I'm glad, because it's not easy taking an older person anywhere these days. So I just think it's brilliant, and I think that, you know, having translation services available. Who would have known that it was a $54 billion industry? And you guys, again, certifiedlanguages.com. You can find out more about Kristen's company, certifiedlanguages.com. They take 30,000 calls a day helping businesses to translate and make more money and maybe save lives, because depending on, you know, what way you look at it, we want to make money, but we also want to save lives in a time right now when some of these poor folks are being marginalized because they can't speak the language. God bless you guys for interpreting for them. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Once again, Certified Languages with an S, certifiedlanguages.com. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. There's more of this there. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, it's time to get personal. Yeah, I know. You're not really supposed to as a talk show host. You're supposed to talk about business. But sometimes your personal life becomes your business, and you can't help it. I'm a baby boomer, so my parents are 90 and 92 and a half right now. And they're healthy, thank God. But they've had their time when they were not doing well. And it really, as an entrepreneur, it affected my whole life and really still is. I've had to actually change my life dramatically to be able to help them. Now, I'm the actual guardian for both of my parents, and I have four other siblings. And let me just tell you, there's also a lot of infighting and garbage that goes on because I have the ultimate decision at the end of the day what happens with their lives and where they live and what they do. And I have to take them to doctors and all that stuff. So, yeah, it etched in and ate into my business life. But I don't care because they're my parents and I love them. But how many of you entrepreneurs out there, no matter what age, are having to deal with the same thing. I'll bet a lot. So it happens all the time. And if you're an entrepreneur and you're dealing with that, well, then maybe this segment is a good one to continue listening to. Our guest right now is my friend Nancy May. She is CEO and founder of CareManity, but she has also spent her career working with CEOs, boards of directors, and senior leaders in the public and private sectors. And these experiences have given her the strength and foundation to step in and provide for her parents with guidance and support, both as their power of attorney and trustee, as they aged. Well, so her and I met at an event in San Francisco. I don't know, it's been a couple of years ago, right, Nancy?
And, I think it's been about 3 or 4. You're right.
Yeah, right. And so, well, I was starting to experience some of these problems, and I think I asked you. As a matter of fact, that's what it was.
On the balcony at Keith's house.
Yes, at Keith Kroc's house, who was at the time chairman and CEO of DocuSign. We were at an event there. And I asked her for some advice. And then, I mean, one thing led to another. And we've been going through these mirrored lives with our parents, really. But you started a Facebook page, Elder Care Success, and it really has helped me, by the way.
Thank you.
I don't say very much in there, but I watch it and I pay attention because we just don't know what to do sometimes and you don't know who to turn to. So you've been a real help to me and I want to thank you publicly for that.
You're more than welcome. It's a pleasure to do so, Alan.
Yeah. Well, also you have a book. So in this next half hour, we're going to talk about also your book, which is How to Survive 9/11 Medical Emergencies, Step by Step, Before, During, and After. And but let's just start with this whole elder care problem, I think, that we have, especially during a COVID world, you know?
Yes.
So what advice can you give people? Maybe just let's just start out like, you know, kind of how we started.
Well, you know, the very beginning, you and I met, we were on the balcony at Keith's house overlooking the San Francisco Bay, which was so lovely as the fog rolls in.
Right.
It's great. It almost looked like a scene to a movie. You
exactly.
Know,
Golden Gate Bridge in the background. That was awesome.
It was amazing.
Yep.
But it's been a journey for me, too. I've been taking care of my folks now. You know, the whole story sort of started about 13 years ago, where my mom, we had a great relationship over the years, and mom and I had fun, and we laughed, and we did great things. She was tough, you know, she was a mom, but we always had the ability to communicate well and strong, and one day, I became the evil daughter overnight.
Oh, no.
It's like, I have no idea why.
Yeah.
But I thought that maybe I had done something wrong, and I hadn't. And a friend who's a therapist said, oh, you know, obvious your mother hasn't gotten therapy because of, you know, the passing of a young child. When I was only in second grade, my middle sister, who was 2 and a half, died from leukemia.
Oh.
So we talked about that. And I thought that maybe that had something to do with it, or depression. But what it was is there were a series of what they call TIAs, mini strokes, that were going on.
Wow.
That my dad was clueless about and I was clueless about.
Yeah. Wow.
And it affected her personality greatly.
Yeah. Well, and then so you're an entrepreneur. You were running your business.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden life slowly starts to take a turn. Right?
Yeah, it's like you start treading in mud all of a sudden.
Right.
Where do you start? And you panic. You know, you get that visceral gut feeling of, oh my God, now what do I do? And I turned my brain off on my business, and I ran to the help of my dad, who was more in help because he didn't know how to the grocery store, and you know, dad's dinner was he was happy with Cheerios and ice cream. And maybe a hot dog that he could throw in the microwave, which if it didn't explode, he was fine.
Oh, which,
but he wouldn't know how to find that in the grocery store, Al.
Right. Well, and on top of that, if you live eating like that, that in itself, if you've got diabetes or whatever, is only going to escalate your problems. You know, because
heart issues. Yeah.
Yes, heart issue. Anything, right? But now, so did that turn?
Cheerios, ice cream, and hot dogs—the three major food groups.
But did that turn you to the healthcare industry and business?
You know, it didn't originally. What happened is mom and dad decided to go into an assisted living facility predominantly, and they had planned this well in advance. I joke and I say, my mom and dad have been preparing me for their death since I was five.
Wow.
I blog about this. Because in the early days, the olden days, parents told their kids what to do in case of emergencies.
Right.
I knew how to throw a rope ladder out of our second story window in case there was a fire.
Right.
At five, I was told how to dial 911 on a little plastic toy phone while my aunt pretended that my mother was dead and she was the doctor at the front door. I mean, I should be in a loony bin myself thinking about it. But I always knew how to take care of myself because they taught me that and that things would be okay.
Yeah.
But when it actually came down to the point that they needed help, it was different. But mom and dad, you know, had gone into this facility and I could see mom fading. She was going to depression. She was not eating. It was the little cleaning ladies who pulled me aside one day and said, Miss Nancy, please, we have to tell you, if your mom is not willing to go down to eat at the dining hall, we've been told not to bring her a meal.
Oh, my gosh. All right,
this was one of the nicer facilities in the area.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I didn't know what to do, and I have nicknames for everybody. I've always sort of done that. And I would call myself the Wicked Witch from the North because I would fly down.
Oh, my gosh. All right, hold your thought. Hold your thought. Hold on, because this is a serious subject, right?
It is.
I dealt with the same thing with my parents, with my mom. Of course, my dad would eat her food, and so he got fat, and she was wasting. But that's another story. We'll take a little break. We're talking with Nancy May. She's got a new book out, How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, Step by Step, Before, During, and After. Something maybe your parents didn't teach you. Or maybe you need to know what to do now. You can find it online. If you Google it, it'll be on Amazon. How to survive 911medical.com. Or just put in there, how to survive. Oh, no, that's what it is. I'm getting it all wrong. Nancy will tell you on the other side. We'll be right back.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So if you're an entrepreneur and you have parents, which I think most of you do, well, even no matter what age you are, you should probably know that someday you'll get that phone call. Or you'll visit your parents and you'll go, what's different about mom or dad? Something's not right. And you'll talk to your siblings and they'll go, oh, it's nothing. He ate something. He's got angina. You know, no, it may be something. Nancy May's joining us, CEO and founder of CareManity. She's got a new book out, How to Survive 9/11 Medical Emergencies, 911 Medical Emergencies, Step by Step, Before, During, and After. And I botched the website. Please tell us what it is, Nancy.
So the website where you can get a free file of life is called howtosurvive911.com.
Okay.
You sign up, you get a free file of life, which is a document that tells when you fill it out properly. Ours is fillable, so you can change it anytime you want, which is good. But it's a tool that you need to give to an EMT or a doctor just in case there's an emergency, and everybody should have one. I don't care whether you're 2 years old or 102 years old. It's all the stuff that you should be able to give a medical team, a doctor or somebody else, in case you can't do it.
You know what? It's funny because one time my dad called, 911 and the ambulance came and I got there. And fortunately, we had a pulse form that had information on it. But that's like the last thing you should have, and you should have one of those so people know how to deal with, end-of-life stuff in case that happens, right, whether you want them revived or not. Or because, I actually did a little bit of research on this, and it's really sad stuff to talk about. But you ask the doctors, and if your parents, somebody has a heart attack, and if the medics are to revive them, with CPR and trying to pump their chest and all that, they can break ribs and all these things. And so it's like this stuff is so horrifying when you start digging into it. It's like, oh, it's so painful, Nancy. But you're talking about information which I imagine is, all the phone numbers of the siblings and things that they could be allergic to and all that kind of stuff. Is that on there?
It's everything from date of birth, which is important for them to know,
right,
all the way through doctors, allergic reactions,
yep,
what kind of vitamins or supplements they might be on,
right,
any kind of devices that might be implanted, pacemakers,
right,
even dentures. It doesn't matter what, hip replacement, joint replacements,
right,
that's important.
Somebody's got to have all that.
The medicine that they're on,
right,
any other kind of conditions, if there is a hearing condition,
right,
a mental condition, that's so important for people to know.
Oh,
and EMTs and first responders who come to your house to do this, always look and ask for that information. You'd
yep
be surprised how many people do not have it. And they all say, this makes our ability to save the life of your loved one possible.
That's awesome. So we're talking about elder care today. As a baby boomer, I am dealing with it. Nancy is dealing with it, has dealt with it. Something special I want to mention, though, because your father passed at 99 years old, just I think it was relatively recently. And
yeah, now I say 99 and 47 days because he wanted to get to 120. So those 47 days count, right?
I want you to know, my dad told me the other day he was 1,000 years old. And I said, Dad, no, you're not. He says, well, I'm going to be 1,000 years old. I said, no, Dad, I don't think that's going to happen. I said, you may make it to 100. He goes, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do, is make it to 100.
I like the X-Zero myself.
But you know what? It's so cute. And but this is the thing is that, look, if we do want to save our parents' lives, entrepreneurs have to go in everything they do the extra mile. They know that. And so they're going to be more prepared. Do you know that when I went to get insurance from NACE, the National Association of the Self-Employed, it was so much cheaper. I said to the guy, I go, how can you do this? Do you know what he said to me? This is the honest to God truth. He said, entrepreneurs are healthier people. I looked at him and I said, are you serious?
We do what we love, right?
He says, yeah. He says, because they know they cannot afford to miss work, so they just will their way through it. And they don't just stay home because they have a sniffle or whatever. They continue working and they work their way through it. And I thought,
and my dad was an entrepreneur too, so
see?
I get it.
Yeah. My dad is too. So, I mean, because they breed entrepreneurs. So the book again, How to Survive
911 Medical Emergencies, step by step, before, during, and after.
There you go. See, she knows the book better than I do. I haven't got a copy yet, so I need to go. By the way, and I have now the information correctly. If you guys want one, you can go to either place, howtosurvive911.com, or you can go to Amazon and just go to How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies. If you type that in, her book will pop up. She's trying to sell 99 books by 9/11. So September 11th, which we all know what that is. Tell us about why you want to do that, Nancy.
So 9/11 or 911 or September 11th, as we know it, was when the World Trade Towers were bombed.
Right.
But my cousin reminded me on that day, who came from across state in Florida to be with me, that it was Patriots Day. And my dad, you know, World War II vet, actually renamed his business May USA. So he was
awesome.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue, and he passed away on Patriots Day, September 11th.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And he was 99 years old. So
that's
my goal
awesome.
Is, in the next couple of weeks, is to sell 99 books. With the goal of helping families.
That's awesome.
It's not about selling books. It's about doing something good.
Absolutely. All right, hang tight. We're going to come back with more Nancy May. We're talking elder care. This is, I think, a gift to all the folks out there that have elder parents. You really need to know this stuff. We'll be right back. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
My guest right now, Nancy May, CEO and founder of CareManity, author of the book, How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, Step by Step, Before, During, and After, a book that we should all have. Let's help her get to the 99 books by September 11th, 9/11. Her dad would have been 90, or, well, would be 100 this year.
He would have been 100,
yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's a huge milestone.
We had 100 on July 26th, so he would have been 100 this past
month. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Well, I have a son who's born July 25th. All right, so now it is time for us to try and help people to make sure they're kind of prepared. Now, one thing that I've done is I've joined your Facebook page, Elder Care Success, and maybe this is a good place to send people. What do you think?
I think it's a great place to send people. It's a small private group. We've kept it private because so people can't see things on the outside that's going on, specifically because some of the things we talk about are very personal.
Yeah.
And other caregiver groups are out there, are open to everybody. And quite frankly, not that they're bad, but there's a lot of complaining and whining. And I don't tolerate complaining and whining. It's not where you can be productive.
Right.
Right?
Right. So, again, there's also a website, howtosurvive911.com. And it is correct. The numbers 911. So, howtosurvive911.com. Again, you can find her book, How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies. If you Google that, it'll pop up on Amazon. And again, we're trying to sell 99 books by 9/11 to honor her dad who passed on that date. So in this world today, there's a lot of choices that people have to make. And I know that you've had some difficulties I have my parents in an elder care place and they're doing well. And I'm there all the time. I actually look at the menu. I want to know, what are my parents eating? This menu that they have at this place, all gluten-free, but I make sure that my dad likes salmon. I say, I want salmon at least once a week. And they're like, okay, we'll put that on the menu. So I know
protein's good.
Yeah, we have to make sure that we are there for them. We can't just throw them in there and walk away. You really have to make sure that you're overseeing their care if you love your parents.
Correct.
So any advice on whether to put them in these facilities? Or I know you're doing it a little differently. Let's talk about that.
Well, Mom and Dad, I think I mentioned, Mom and Dad were in a facility. And right. I took them out because the quality of the care, although it was considered one of the best places where they were, was not up to the level that I expected. And that's where I saw the downfall of Mom. If she had been there and stayed there, she would have been dead probably within 3 months before we took her, after we had taken them out.
Wow.
And right now, I actually shared a photo of what my mom looked like in the facility with our lead aide and what she looks like now. And she says, oh, my God, Nancy, I can't believe that's the same person.
Wow.
I mean, she was, skeletal looking, disheveled, gray look to her face. And now she's plump and pink and happy and laugh. And she's got moderate dementia. We have great conversations. But I took them out. I took them to another assisted living facility, and it was independent. And I found aides. I hired aides, and we took care of them that way. They got 3 meals a day in an apartment.
Right.
But at that point, then the meals were okay. But Dad started to lose weight and go downhill because they can't typically make the meals in a way that some older people will consume. If you've got bad dental problems,
right.
Or your taste may not like pizza, or there's issues with gastrointestinal concerns,
right.
Or diarrhea.
So
you
many
name it.
Things to think about. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It
is amazing. Or just the environment of others. I mean, I met one guy there with my dad who didn't like anybody sitting at his table, who was one of the chief economists to Reagan. I think, oh my God, Bob was fabulous.
Oh, wow.
But my dad didn't want to talk to him because he couldn't hear him.
Oh, see, my dad has that problem. All right, listen, here's where we're at. We're at the last moment of the show. I want to make sure that we give out these information again, these places where people can find you. One is the Facebook page, which is Elder Care Success. You guys just go to Facebook and put in the search Elder Care Success. The other
just
one.
Answer the three questions. That's okay. It. And
there we go. The other one is, of
you're
course,
up and above, we're in. Yeah.
The website, howtosurvive911.com, or you can Google How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, and her book will pop up. And we should all have this book, How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, step by step, before, during, and after, because when the day comes, you'll understand what you don't know real fast. You're like, oh my gosh, I should have had that.
You want to be prepared and not afraid. Absolutely.
Nancy May, I love you. Thank you. You've helped me.
You too, Alan.
Helped me through a tough time in my life and my parents' lives. So thank you again for everything you're doing.
I thank you for your support and for everything you're doing for your parents.
Yep, we all got to do that. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.